Good morning once again, everyone. Welcome to Bridge City Church, Murraysville campus. How many of you have experienced the goodness of God in your life? Amen. We can give God a hand. This is our last week of What Do I Believe series. We've been doing it kind of all summer long, talking about a lot of different topics, a lot of different things. We discuss God the Father, Jesus the Son, Holy Spirit. What do we believe about the church, the Bible? So many different aspects. And today, we get to talk about one of my favorite things to talk about because it's something that God's done a lot of work in me. And that's the topic of tithing and the topic of our finances and being generous people. And I know some of you may be thinking, like, really, today? Yes, today, because tithing is a spiritual issue. Our money is a spiritual issue, and we are a place that we're going to talk about spiritual things. You know, and when it comes to, you know, helping people, this is what we do as a church. We want to help people. We want to help people understand who they are in Christ. We want to help them grow in their faith, grow in their level of relationship with God. And something that bothers me is when people are in bondage or addiction. Anybody agree? When somebody has a drug addiction, when somebody's in bondage to a mindset, or they don't know their identities in Christ, or they believe lies that have been taught to them, or they're in bondage to trauma that took place in their life. Very similarly, people are in bondage often to their finances, right? With the economy the way it is and inflation. And so many people I hear is there's not enough money in the month and there's bills are going up, groceries are going up, rent's going up, mortgage, like interest is going up, gas is going up. And there's so much focus on the world, and not that we just pretend it's not real, but how do we combat the lies and the attack of the world versus what God tells us in his word that he's going to provide more than enough? Right, to truly experience joy and peace and the freedom totally with God, we can't be so fixated on the things of the world because it really does steal our joy, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, that fear and anxiety and worry and stress, it robs us of living lives of joy, of peace. And honestly, I think a lot of people have a hard time hearing the voice of God because they're so focused on the things of the world. Again, not saying they're not real, like gas costs what it costs. Everything costs what it costs. So it's not this pretend it's not real. But with that same truth, God's word still is true. I sincerely believe all Christians want to be generous. Right? You say, I want to be generous. I just need to make more money. Or I got to get rid of this debt. Or fill in the blank. Right? But all of us want to be more generous. And I believe helping people hear from the word of God, not just information, but something that can transform and move us into a revelation of God and who he is and what his word says to truly follow and obey what God says. Now, I hope you never hear from me that there's shame or there's putting you down, but I want to encourage you and fill you with faith, build your faith so that you can work towards following out what I know is already inside of you, right? You already want to be generous. It's not you better do this or else. But hey, let's begin the process to get you to be more generous. Why don't you take a step of faith? It's a journey, right? When you're going somewhere, you don't just get there. You have to take steps along the way. Because the reality is we're called to be people of faith, and we have to take those steps of faith. I met with somebody yesterday that, you know, it's like they were talking about they want to get to this place where they can be doing all these things and serving God and all, and they feel like they're failing because of where they are right now. I said, there's a big picture that we're missing when we get to that place. I know I'm supposed to be here, but I'm only here. I say, well, start taking steps. You don't just wake up and run a marathon. You shouldn't. I can't. But you start by training. Maybe you run a 5K. Then you do a 10K. You work your way up to being able to run a marathon. Very similar in our faith and our walk with God. We take steps. Maybe your first next step is to start walking. Maybe your next step's to start on a treadmill. Maybe your next step's to run. Maybe it's to walk a 5K. I'm not even thinking about running a 5K. I'm just going to walk. That's okay. Start where you are. Begin taking steps to maybe you be able to get to the fullness of what God has for us. And to be honest, you never arrive. The Christian faith is one of those things that's frustrating but exciting at the same time because you never actually complete it until you die and go be with Jesus. It's a lifelong journey of growth. But 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. When our sight is fixated on all the things in the natural, it's really hard to walk by faith, to walk with spiritual eyes, to see as God sees. So with that, would you join me as I pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for this series as we've gotten to dive into really understanding and being able to explain why we believe what we believe and what we believe as a people, as your people. God, I pray for your word today, your spirit today, to speak to each and every person, specifically in this area of tithing, specifically in the area of finances and generosity. God, help draw out of us what you've already put in us to be the most generous people on the planet. And God, may we all take a step of faith after today, God, based upon your word and your spirit. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, what is the tithe? The tithe isn't actually a religious or spiritual term. It's a word that literally just means a tenth. A tenth part or means tenth. There's the Hebrew, which is primarily Old Testament, and the Greek and the New Testament. Both words literally mean one-tenth of something or a tenth part. So just to give you a base definition, if you've ever heard tithe, tithing and giving is not the same. They're not synonymous. Tithe literally means you could have a tithe of a piece of a pizza, right? You could have one-tenth of it. You could have one-tenth of a piece of cake. You could have one-tenth of, everyone's thinking about food now, but you know, I'm thinking, one-tenth, the tithe is just a tenth. It doesn't necessarily mean a spiritual meaning. Understanding what the tithe is, there's a Barna study done a couple years ago. They surveyed a bunch of people in the United States and asked them, are you familiar with the term tithe and know what it means? And the chart shows that practicing Christians, specifically practicing 59%, but all Christians, that third line down, all Christians, only 43% said they knew what the tithe was and what it means. It was actually a lot less that were actually doing it or said they were actually tithing, but this to me was alarming to see that actually almost two-thirds, a little less than 60% of all Christians in the United States even know what tithing means. And not to, again, not to make people feel bad if you didn't know, but if we're practicing Christians and we're Christians, we call ourselves Christians, this is a biblical principle and concept that really we should know and then work towards actually doing it, right? Not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word as well. Problem is, tithing often becomes very legalistic. You know, it's a tax, it's a, I just have to do this, or we move the decimal and we're counting out every cent and dollar we make and making sure we give exactly 10% rather than having understanding the heart of it. And I want you today to leave here, if nothing else, not just having a definition of tithing, but having the heart that God has for why tithing is a biblical principle, why it applies to us today, but not giving to get something, right? That's a prosperity kind of gospel that we don't preach here, that we want you to give to God because of what he's already given to you. Like, we give and we're generous because we serve a generous God who's already done above and beyond what we could ever imagine for us. You know, tithing is an act of worship. When you give to financially to something, you're ascribing worth to it. When you give tithe to God, you're giving worth to him. You're worshiping him. It truly is an act of worship. It's also an act of grace. It takes a spiritual empowerment. That's what grace is. It empowers us to give of our finances, to truly trust God as our provider, to trust him that he's going to make sure there's enough in the bank at the end of the day to truly walk out this life of faith. You know, there's a couple different ways of looking at tithing, you know, and we're going to look at under the difference of the law, the Old Testament, Levitical law, and grace, the act of and the era of grace that we're under today. But the worldly view is looking at this as it's a mandatory thing. I got to do it. I'm told I have to do it. It's a command. And it feels like it's an obligation. You're forced into something. I'm not really much of, I follow the rules now, but you know, my flesh side of me, like I want to test the rules. I don't like being told what to do all the time. I usually follow and obey rules and laws and all those things, right? But at times it's a lot less motivating to give when it's a law and it's a command and it's a rule rather than, hey, this is what's best for you and let me share why, right? If you know something's best for you, it's in your benefit, it's much better to do that than just you're supposed to and you have to do this. Money is a spiritual issue because it's a trust issue. It's a trust issue. You know, do you trust just any random stranger to walk up to somebody in the street, give them your bank card and your PIN number? Anybody going to do that? Right? Most of you probably don't even trust your kids with their bank number and PIN number, right? Or people in your, because you don't trust how what they're going to do with it. Money is very much a trust issue, and that makes it a spiritual issue. Jesus talked about money and finances more than heaven and hell. He used illustrations using money. A lot of times he explained spiritual things. He explained heaven and hell. He explained faith using financial illustrations. So they weren't necessarily talking about money, but he used them to illustrate a spiritual issue. Why would he do that? I believe it's because he knows how much money is connected to our hearts. Right? Our money is connected to our hearts. Where our treasure is, there our heart is. You know, there's such an attachment, especially I believe in America, where we have so much compared to most of the world, that our hearts, where we don't just have money, but our money has us. Our possessions have us. Our finances have us, rather than us owning them. You know, because money is such a private issue, it's often tied to shame, right? Or you've maybe been wounded in the past. You've been hurt in the past. You know, if you've ever gone through a divorce, usually the finances are a huge, huge hit for both parties. If you've ever experienced somebody robbing you, stealing from you, taking advantage of you, it creates these wounds in your past that makes money very touchy to you, very sensitive issue. And I don't want to pretend that that's not real. I want to just speak to the elephant in the room, but to also say it still doesn't make the word of God untrue. So what does the word of God say? In light of the reality of your wounds, your past, maybe things have happened to you, the word of God still speaks truth. So we looked at Genesis 14, Old Testament, first book of the Bible. Genesis 14 is the very first mention of the word tithe. So whenever you're studying a topic in the Bible, it's good to start and go back to the very first mention. The first time it's mentioned in the Bible, because to a good Jew, and most, you know, the Bible is written to the Jewish people, it was the first time you mention it, got it. Second time you mention it, it's like, oh, you're starting to make more, it's more important now. Third time, it's a done deal. God, there's no argument against it. And we see over and over and over, as we're going to look at some verses throughout the Old Testament and New Testament about tithing. This says, Melchizedek, the king of Salem and the priest of God Most High, brought Abram, this is the Abram who God changed his name to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He brought him some bread and wine. Melchizedek blessed Abram with this blessing. Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has defeated your enemies for you. Then Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth of all the goods he had recovered. In the Hebrew language, that tenth is the word tithe there. He gave a tenth, a tithe of all the goods he recovered. Now what's really important about this, one, it's first mentioned, it's very early in the Bible, but it actually predates the law, the Levitical law. So in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, when the law is given to Moses about tithing, you know, when people say the Old Testament, that's just the Old Testament law, this actually predates that as an example for us to see how God has established this very early on in the history of mankind to represent for us, give us an illustration, an example to follow of tithing. Now, Abram, and Abraham's like, he's the patriarch. He's the top dog of the Israel faith. And we actually read this in the New Testament to jump there in Hebrews chapter 7. And there's a lot here, so I'm just going to reference and share with you a few of the verses. Hebrews 7, 1-7. This is New Testament. He's talking about, the writer of Hebrews, talking about Melchizedek and Abram. And he says that in Abraham, after receiving from Melchizedek blessed him, as we just read. He said he took a tenth of all he had and gave it to Melchizedek. The name Melchizedek means king of justice. The king of Salem means king of peace. There's no record of his father or mother or any of his ancestors, no beginning or end to his life. He remains a priest forever, resembling the Son of God. So, again, to understand the Jewish faith, there's almost any good Jew. Even today, we talk about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham's the patriarch. He's the father of the nations. His name literally means the father of many nations. God came to him because of his faith, and he blessed him to be the father of our faith. He literally is the father of the Jewish faith, which Christianity is just a continuation of the Jewish faith, the fulfillment of all the things that God prophesied about. And here in Hebrews, he talks about how Abram gave to Melchizedek, a tenth to Melchizedek. Why would he do that? It was just an overflow of first response of receiving this blessing from this priestly man, and he gave back to him a tenth of all the goods. He didn't say you had to do this. He didn't get a rule or command. It was his response from the blessing that Melchizedek gave Abram. His response was to give back. It says Melchizedek placed a blessing on Abraham, the one who had already received the promises of God. And I think it's important to know, Abram was already blessed by God. He had already given him the blessing. So he's not giving this 10% to get a blessing. He'd already received the blessing. So there is no give to get. It's simply a response for the generosity that he had received already. It says, without question, in Hebrews 7:7, the person who has the power to give a blessing is greater than the one who was blessed. When we give financially to God, when we trust him in every area of our life, what we're saying is, God, you're greater because you're able to bless me. You're greater because you're more superior than me. And that's why we give, not to receive a blessing, but because he's already blessed us. The Old Testament mentions the tithe in several different locations. I have a list of them. If you want to take a picture, you want to write these down, take notes. Don't have time to go through all of them, but just to show you Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, 2 Chronicles, Malachi, we're going to look at a few of these to see all the times that tithing is mentioned, that word tithe is mentioned throughout the Old Testament specifically. One of them in 2 Chronicles 31, verses 5 and 6, says, when the people of Israel heard these requirements, they responded generously by bringing the first share of their grain, new wine, olive oil, honey, and all the produce of their fields. They brought a large quantity, a tithe of all they produced, a 10%. The people who had moved to Judah from Israel, the people of Judah themselves, brought in the tithes of their cattle, sheep, goats, and the tithe of the things that had been dedicated to the Lord their God, and they piled them in great heaps. What's the saying? They were told, this is the requirement, this is the law, this is what you should do. And their response was they just obeyed what they were told to do by the people of God, by the prophets of God, that they brought. And it says, like, because, you know, back then they didn't have the same currency that we have. Most of us don't have grain and olive oil and honey and cattle and sheep, and some of us maybe do. But usually we get a paycheck, right? We get money, we get currency. So this is showing their currency primarily was these things, these agricultural things, these farming and cattle and whatnot, the livestock. They gave 10% of what they had and of all they produced. So we jump to Malachi chapter 3, probably one of the more commonly known texts in the Bible that talks about tithing. It says a call, the heading of this passage in the Bible, in most translations, if not all, says God's calling them to repentance, that they're not obeying what God had asked them to do. They'd been rescued out of exile, the Israelites at the time. They'd been rescued out of exile for several decades at this point, yet they weren't obeying God. And God gives them this rebuke, really. He says, will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? Now, if God ever asks you that question and says, you are robbing me, you're probably not in a good spot. Right? Anybody want God to say, you're robbing me? No, right? But if you don't know, it's okay. You don't know. So he says, how have we robbed you? He says, in your tithes and contributions, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. He says, he tells him, you robbed me of the tithe. You robbed me of your contributions, of giving to me. And says, there's a curse that's going to be upon you and upon your nation. He says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse. He doesn't say bring part of it. He says, bring the full tithe in verse 10 into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. This is the only time God specifically says, test me in your finances. There's other places he says, test the spirits. He says, try me, you know, build your faith. But this is the only part in the whole Bible where God says, put me to the test. Test me by bringing your tithe into the storehouse, and see if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. He very clearly lays out, this is God's word in Malachi 3, that if you trust me, if you obey me, if you stop robbing and bring the tithe, the full tithe into the storehouse, I'm going to open windows of heaven and pour down a blessing upon you. Now, he's not just talking about financial blessing, but there's blessings that's going to come. He says, I will rebuke the devourer. You know what the devourer is? At the time, for them, with crops as their currency, he says, I'm going to stop the insects. I'm going to stop the disease from killing your animals. I'm going to protect your assets. I'm going to protect your wealth. I'm going to protect the things. I'm going to rebuke the things that are going to steal them from you. Why would this principle not apply to us today? Right? That the same principle here that he's speaking to his people still apply to us today. But instead of famine and insects and disease, I'm going to rebuke the things that steal your wealth and assets now. Now, can I prove exactly how that looks? No. I personally believe that if you don't bring your tithe, you're going to lose it anyways. You're going to lose it in some way. Somebody's going to steal it. There's going to be, and again, I don't have text, so I want to be very clear. Separating from, this isn't the word of God. I believe that things are going to happen that are going to cost you money. They're going to rob you. You're going to lose money if you don't honor God with the tithe. He says, I will rebuke the devourer. I will protect you from getting into an accident that's going to cost you a $500 deductible. I'm going to protect you from losing money out of your pocket. I'm going to protect you from, those are things I believe. I just want to be clear, that's not necessarily God's word saying that. I believe that's how it applies to us today. He's going to protect us from losing finances when we trust him and bring the full tithe into the storehouse. You know, as a church, we give over 10% of our income, everything that comes into the church, we give over 10% away to missions outside of Bridge City Church because we want to open heaven blessing from God as well. We want to trust God with this principle of giving back to him, to sowing out into the world from our church even to help benefit the mission in the kingdom of God. In Matthew 6, Jesus' words, red letters, he says, don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. We can store up all kinds of wealth and treasures and things here on earth, but like he says, why would you store them up here now? You can store up treasures in heaven by trusting God with tithing. But really, wherever your treasure is, there is your heart. So if your heart's not with God or not in the right place, if your treasure's not with him, how can your heart be? Wherever your treasure is, wherever you put your finances, that's where your heart is. You know, I know people that spend a lot of money on a lot of hobbies. That's where their heart is. That's not bad. It very clearly shows they really love spending money on boats and other stuff. I'm not picking on anybody. You know, but we spend money on whatever that hobby is, whether it's going to a range, going golfing, going on vacations. Like, where our money is where our heart is, right? Because we're putting worth, we're ascribing worth to that thing. You know, under the Old Testament, there's this thing called the Ten Commandments. You ever hear of them? Maybe a couple of them. The Ten Commandments, right? But under the new covenant, our salvation isn't based on obeying the Ten Commandments, but they're still good to obey, right? There's still blessing that comes when you obey the Old Testament commandments. Why would tithing be any different? It's an Old Testament principle that there's still a blessing that comes when we honor and obey God's word with it. The law versus the grace. You know, tithing, to be honest, tithing is not commanded explicitly in the New Testament. Some people say that, well, Jesus didn't command us to tithe, so therefore we don't have to. He didn't command us to do a lot of things that we know we should be doing, right? Just because he didn't say it or just because it wasn't recorded. But generosity is actually commanded. When we look at the New Testament, okay, the Old Testament, tithing was a command. There was actually more than just one tithe, but there was a command. It was a law. It was a rule. The New Testament, we're actually commanded to be generous. Over and over again, we see the examples in the book of Acts and 1 Corinthians and all these examples of God's people being extravagantly generous, right? 10%, though, is a step and a portion to get to be generous. So, yes, tithing's not a command, but generosity is. And generosity is giving above and beyond that. And when we go back to, but I can't seem to see how to get there, take a step in that direction. Take a step in realizing I want to be generous. How do I do that? I begin giving something. I begin taking steps to move towards being generous because God is generous. And as your faith grows, give more. Give more. I believe in this so much. And I didn't ask permission from Pastor Rick or the elders, or and one of them sitting in the room right now, so he can stand up and correct me. But I believe in the principle of tithing so much, I would say to you, don't even give to Bridge City Church. I trust the principle of God so much, I say give that 10% regardless. Trust God. Give it to a Christian organization. Now, I want you to give to Bridge City Church as well. I believe you should give to your local church, your local storehouse. But I believe in it so much that I say if you give that 10% to another mission or an organization or something else, I still believe God would bless you. Because it's a principle of showing God, God, I trust you. I worship you. It's an act of grace. And God, I want to trust you with my finances. I want to show you that my heart is not with my stuff, but it's with you. Now, if you don't know where to give, give to Bridge City Church, PGA, BridgeCityPGH.com. You should give, because we give to missions. We give to alms that help the needy and the poor. We give to pro-life organizations. We give to things that are doing great work in addition to just what's happening within the walls of Bridge City Church. You know, it's easy to give to someone you love and someone you trust. It's easy for me to give to God because I've experienced his love. I've experienced his faithfulness. I don't have to question what he's going to do with it or how he's going to use it or how he's going to lead our leaders to use it. And I have such great confidence in how we steward the finances that God has given us. I share this with every new member, membership time, that when our finances are very transparent as a church, you can ask, you can see, we give out an annual report every year. We lay it all out because we have nothing to hide. We say, look at it. Look what God is doing through our finances to make a difference in other people's lives. I'm getting a little too far ahead in my notes, but you know, it is an act of grace. When you experience the grace of God, generosity is a result. Right? Ephesians 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. I believe 8 and 9, that it's an act of grace. Grace is God saved us through his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. It's grace. Grace is what saves us. So getting out of the mindset, well, I have to tithe or I have to do or I have to serve or I have to perform. You don't have to do any of that. But because it's grace that's upon us, his generosity to give himself to us, that now we get to spend eternity with him, why wouldn't we give ourselves to him fully and totally? You know, and it is our choice. It's not a rule. It's not a command. It's simply say, he says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, then you will be saved. There's a condition of if you do this, you choose to do it. God doesn't force us to spend eternity with him. God doesn't force us to be disciples. He certainly doesn't force us to give of our finances. He says, if you do this, there's a blessing that comes upon you. There's a benefit to you. And the benefit isn't just for what we get, but the real benefit is when you get to see what you're doing, what you're contributing to, making a difference in other people's lives. That's the real joy. That's where it goes beyond just, this is good for me, to this is good for us. This is good for others. The kingdom of God is so flipped from the world, the world's way of thinking, right? The world says, you got to push other people down. You got to take advantage of people. You got to steal, take, whatever you got to do to get to the top. The greatest in the world are those that have received the most, who've gotten the most. But Jesus flipped that upside down. He says, no, the greatest in the kingdom of God are those who have given. He says, those who have come to serve, who serve others. Jesus came to serve, not to be served, which still blows my mind every time I say it. Like, the king of the universe, the creator of everything, he came to serve us? How much more of an example do we need to give of our entire lives? So what did Jesus say about tithing? Well, there's not a lot in the New Testament. There are two times, Matthew 23:23 and Luke 11, are two times where Jesus specifically uses the word tithing. And he's actually rebuking and talking to the Pharisees, the leaders of religious law. And Matthew 23:23, he talks to them. He says, he calls the Pharisees hypocrites. He goes, what sorrow awaits you? For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. He's talking about them. They were very diligent in moving the decimal, of giving 10% of. They took their herbs. They probably, you know, weighed them and they made sure it was exactly 10%. It couldn't go above, couldn't go below. Very careful. He says, but you're ignoring the more important aspects, the justice and mercy and faith. He says, you should tithe. Yes. And in the Greek language, he literally means you should tithe. It's necessary. This is proper. It's what you should do. By definition, Jesus' own words, he says, you should tithe. But he also says, don't neglect the more important things. It was a given to him. Like, yes, you should do this, but you should also do the more important things. You should do things like justice and mercy and faith, and you should love people. Not just say, well, I obey the law. I do me. I give 10%. I'm good. I don't need to do anything more. Jesus consistently raised the bar. You always, you know, when the Old Testament says, you know, hate your enemies, he said, pray for your enemies. The Old Testament says, if you murder somebody, that's bad. Jesus says, if you look with anger upon somebody, you've already committed murder in your heart. It's like, whoa, Jesus, slow down. That's too much. If you've looked at a woman with lust, you've already committed adultery in your mind. It's like, Jesus, stop. The standard's already high enough. Like, he raised the bar. So why would the tithe be the standard and Jesus would lower it? In fact, he raised it even more. As we see throughout the Old Testament of extravagant generosity, of selling houses and fields and property and giving well and above 10%. What do I believe about tithing? I think it's a really good principle. Everyone should follow it, should do it, should trust God, should test God in it. But then once you get there, see the joy of going above and beyond that. See the joy of getting to be involved in other people's lives, changed and transformed for the glory of God. Why we give and what our money goes to isn't just to pay rent, isn't just to keep the lights on. It's to see people's lives changed and transformed. To see people's eternity changed from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. That's what we give to, so that as many people as possible begin a relationship with God. That there could be people saved through our resources. You know, heaven and hell are real. And whenever you think money's not a spiritual issue, there's people going to hell for their love of money. But there's also people going to heaven because people didn't love their money and gave to the kingdom of God. There's actually two people I'm going to invite up to the stage at this point. They have tithing stories that you can hear from me all day. I want you to hear from some other people. And one of them actually called me and said, hey, I want to come share this. I believe it's God telling him to share it. And as they make their way up, there's three questions that are very practical to help you in understanding. Oh, yeah, you need to go change that slide first. Three question tests that can be, is very helpful. What can I give? What can I give up? What can I believe God for? I don't know where everyone's at. Maybe you've never given financially. You've never taken that step. The question to ask, what can I give? Most of us have something we can give. Maybe it's change in the cup holder in the car. Maybe there's some money lying around somewhere that's in a big jug in your room. We all have something we can give. Second question is, what can I give up? Maybe give up going out for dinner as much. Maybe give up an extra coffee. Maybe you start making coffee at home. Maybe you give up something along the way, a habit, something. I gave up drinking when I first heard about tithing because I realized I was spending over 10% of my income on alcohol. And I realized I want to honor God. I want to obey him. And it's what's best for me anyways. If I stop drinking, stop going to bars, stop going to other places, I newly got saved, and I said, I'm going to give God my beer money. You know what? He's so pleased with that. And I believe maybe there's someone here, you need to give up drinking, you need to give up smoking, you need to give up something, some habit, so that you can honor God with your tithe. What can I believe God for? Trust him for so much more. Don't think of 10% as the goal, but go above and beyond. That's for all of us. What can I believe God for? God, can I ever outgive you? The answer is no. He's the creator of the heavens, the earth, of each and every one of us. He is a God of unlimited resources. So I'll stop preaching for a moment. And Kaylee, why don't you come over first? I just told everyone your name, but Kaylee. And tell us, like, what happened when you started tithing?
Jeremy's, the mic is on. Okay, good. I'm Kaylee Klingensmith. So when my husband and I started coming to Bridge City, I'd say we were giving regularly, but when we came here is when we started really tithing and making sure it was up to the 10%. So my job, I have a very regular 2-week paycheck. It's always the same. So, you know, I set the automatic withdrawal and then forgot about it, and that was cool. I was like, yeah, tithing, great. And then, so my husband, though, is a videographer, so he has kind of random jobs that come in here and there for all different amounts at random times. And I just, over the past couple months, actually, I just realized that I was missing some of those in the bills. So I had gone back through, like I said, over the past couple of months to make sure that we were tithing out of all of those as well. And we started to feel it a little bit. They weren't huge amounts, but enough that I was like, okay, we can tighten the purse strings a little bit. And then in the meantime, there's a whole other backstory to how this came up. But like I said, that was over the past couple of months. Just this past week, my husband got a full-time job offer that doubled his income.
Amen.
So starting in September. So now we get to tithe even more.
Amen. And Dawn, you can say your name, as I just told everyone again.
I'm Dawn.
Dawn.
So I start out by saying, like, I've always been blessed in my life. And, you know, knew that tithe was a thing and knew what it was and all that. And it was just, it's fine. And I give my time and that sort of thing. And I tithe as much as I can kind of as I go. A few years ago, my wife and I, Jamie, went and we had marriage counseling. And the person that we saw at the time said, you know, looking at your finances, like, there's no way you guys could ever afford to support the two of you and a kid. I kind of took that as like, okay, I have no idea how our family is going to progress, but we had a kid anyway, and we had Sully, obviously, and I, at that point in time, I had heard the verse, the Malachi verse, like, this is one area that you can test me, so I said to myself, okay, like, I know that I've got faith in you, and I've never really tested that, but I kind of want to, just to get that, like, objective view of things. So I started tithing at 10%, and kind of to sum it up, because it's hard to put, like, an exact chronological order, we had Sawyer. still, we're not starving. We still pay our bills and all that. Not to say that there hasn't been times where it's like, I have no idea how this is going to work, but I still tithe anyway. And I make that conscious decision. I basically, it's like I gave up, like the devourer was like stress and worry over my money. Mm-hmm. And in tithing over that period of time, like I've gotten to the point now where it's like I went from looking at my balance on my checkbook and online and all that from like weekly, sometimes daily, multiple times a day, to where it's like now it's like I go like weeks without even looking at it. That stress and worry is gone. And things in my life, like my education, my job, I now have a job, I've been blessed with a job that pays 20% more doing the exact same thing that I did beforehand. We are also now expecting a daughter in March. So yeah, and like we still have our hard times, but like the worry that I experience is, it's just not there. Like, I know that God's going to provide for us no matter what, you know, and things may not always be, you know, we don't go out and buy the boat and all that, but, you know, yeah, like, we're doing great, and I thank God for that every day.
Amen. Let's give God a hand. Give Dawn and Kaylee a great hand. Thank you for testifying, bragging on God. You know, there's such a joy when you really get it and you understand it, and I want to be very clear again, there's no condemnation if you're not there yet. My encouragement is to take a step. Take a step of faith. Take a step of, okay, God, I hear what your word says. I hear what other people are saying. I want to experience that too. You know, giving my beer money was the best thing I could ever do to God, and trusting God with my finances and getting the joy of giving above and beyond that. And there's a couple parables that Jesus shared about the kingdom of heaven. The parable of the hidden treasure and the parable of the choice pearl. And he talks about a man. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who finds a treasure that is hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again, sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it. This parable, these couple of verses have meant a lot to me personally. It's horrible of a person as I was before I got saved. I was in a physical prison before. I realized I was in a spiritual prison. I was going to spend eternity separated from God, separated from anything good. The day I got saved, I got a taste of the kingdom of heaven. I got to see, I got a glimpse of what it means to experience the kingdom of heaven, to experience that joy, to experience the Spirit of God. I realized in my excitement, I said, I want to get rid of everything in the world because the world doesn't own me anymore. I belong to Him. I belong to God because He purchased me with a price. He shed His blood to buy me. I belong to Him. Why wouldn't I give everything for Him? I still pay bills. I still go out to eat. I still do other things. But when the shift happened, when God doesn't just want 10% of my income, He doesn't need my money anyways. But He wants to know that I belong to Him. I want to give my entire life to Him. Would you please stand to your feet? If you've never experienced the kingdom of heaven, or you're here today and you say, I'm not absolutely certain of what you're even talking about, I want to offer you today, this moment right now, that you can begin a relationship with God, that you can experience the kingdom of heaven, that you can experience the joy of finding that treasure of salvation. As I mentioned in Ephesians, it's an act of grace. It's by grace that we are saved. It's not your works. It's not your church membership. It's not a baptism. It's not anything that you can do other than make the decision to choose God as the forgiver of your past, that Jesus Christ died a horrible death for you to pay for your sins. As we say here, He becomes the forgiver of your past and the leader into your future. Maybe your response is you're going to go sell everything and give it to Him. Whatever that God puts on you, that's for you to decide, for you to obey whatever He says. But it starts with beginning a relationship with God, having that treasure of salvation. There is nothing greater, no greater gift, no greater value than spending eternity with a loving, generous God. So if everybody could close their eyes and bow their heads, I want to offer you this moment right now. If you're here today and you say, I want to experience the kingdom of heaven. I want to experience salvation. Maybe you've done it in the past. Maybe you've prayed a prayer of salvation before, but you know you haven't been walking and living according to what God has for you. If you want to begin that relationship or recommit your life to God, I want to pray a special prayer with you. Just between you and God, if you just lift up your hand as a sign of God, I'm yours. God, I want to pray to accept you. I want to experience the kingdom of heaven. If that's you, I want to pray for you. Just slip up your hand right where you are. Heavenly Father, I pray for each and every person here right now. God, for anyone that knows they need to make that decision to accept you, to receive the gift of salvation. God, I pray they'd make that decision today. They wouldn't delay. They wouldn't wait till things are perfect or some other season of life. But right now, right in this moment, they would say yes to you. They'd recommit themselves to following you, that you would become the forgiver of their past and the leader into their future. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I know this is something that is a sensitive topic for many people. But I'm inviting you, if you just say, if God moved on your heart, God stirred you to say, I know I can do more. I can give more. I can trust God more. I want to take a step of faith. All you're saying is, I want to take a step. I want to pray for you as well. Pray against the fear, the worry, the devourer, and I want you to experience the joy of God in your life, especially in the area of finances. And just slip up your hands right where you are. I just want to pray a blessing on everybody in this room. You say, I just want to take a step of faith in my finances. Whatever that looks like for you, wherever you are, I want you to leave here filled with faith. Heavenly Father, I pray for every person in this room, every hand raised, every heart that's open, God, to receive from your word. God, to receive from the testimonies of their brothers and sisters in Christ. God, to know that, God, your word stands true no matter what our circumstances look like. God, I pray for every person here who's living in bondage or in fear or in worry about their finances. We break them off in the name of Jesus. I break off the lies that there's not enough. I break off the bondage of finances owning us. God, these are your children. Father, release your children from the bondage of fear, especially over finances right now, over lack, over not enough. Because God, we know you are a God of unlimited resources. God, you are a God that is generous. He's going to provide more than enough for us to meet every need. So Heavenly Father, I pray for your spirit to anoint every person here, especially in this area of finances. God, that we would grow in our faith, that we would become generous and consistent in our giving. God, that we would strive to give more and more on a consistent basis because we know that it makes a difference in other people's lives. And God, that you are pleased when we show you that our hearts don't belong to this world. Our hearts don't belong to the banks. They don't belong to this, our material things, but we belong to you. Father, build our faith, increase our faith, and God, help us see what you are doing in and through our lives. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. And thank you so much. You could have a seat. Jared, come on up and wrap us up.